right, welcome to Pastor Aggressive Podcast. Real life, real sin.
Real talk.
Oh man, this is an exciting one. So we first need to start by introducing that my sisters are on the podcast today, which is awesome. This is my older sister, Ashley, who's just a little bit older than me. And this is my older than her sister, Adrian, who's just a little bit older
than
her.
How old exactly?
We're not going to talk about that. That's unimportant. Unimportant.
Count the wrinkles. Just kidding. I'm kidding. I love you guys. Sorry.
Zach's so mean. This is what he does. So.
It's like counting the rings on a tree.
Yeah. I got lots of rings.
Me too.
Yeah. So we normally, just to set the tone so you understand what we do and that it's... We are just having a good time here. Just a couple of guys shooting the scoobla, all right? We're just having a good time.
What a horrible thing to say.
What's a scoobla?
It's a Greek potty word that Paul used in the Bible.
It means like menstrual rash.
It does not. It means poop. We talked about this.
I'm pretty sure it means menstrual
rash. It means dung. Anyway.
Okay.
Anyway. Regardless, speaking of dung, you have me on this new deworming medicine, and I started it today.
Parasite cleanse.
Yeah.
This might have
It's called wormwood.
What are you, an
influencer
now?
This might have been a good thing to tell us before we got on camera. Like, oh yeah,
we're like, there's like worms inside of us talking through us right now.
Yeah, it's the brain worm that's talking right now.
That little guy on SpongeBob in the wheelchair.
Yeah. So we have.
He's not a worm. Anyways, he's a fish.
Don't talk about the old magic to him. He was there when it was crafted. He knows all about SpongeBob.
Yep.
No, but I'm on this wormwood now. I tried it, and I'll tell you this.
How's your scuba looking?
My stools have been downright demonic, man. I'm telling you, there's like a gastrointestinal exorcism happening right now. But you told me not to eat any carbs while I was doing it, and I couldn't do that. But I did. I was like, I need to go. I'm gonna go to Taco Bell, which is either good or bad. I'm not sure. But I'm gonna Baja blast those bad boys out, buddy. That's gonna be.
You know what? Me and a girl at work. I'm sorry, Alyssa. But me and a girl at work. We have what we call poop problems. Uh-huh. Sometimes we can't go at all, and sometimes we always go. And one day, both of us went to Taco Bell at lunch, and she came back. She goes, Are you going to be okay? I go, yeah, I went to Taco Bell. She goes, me too. So we share that in common.
Problem
solved.
Gotta
go to Taco Bell.
Did you guys have poop problems after that? Is
there
a punchline
kind of
to this?
So.
Well, yeah. No.
So I think it's working. I've only been, today's day one, so we can't be for sure.
Do you feel cleaner?
I feel cleaner. I feel like.
Cleaner in some ways.
The toilet. Not so much.
Not counting his butt.
Get thee out of my behind, Satan, is what I've been saying when I'm getting rid of these.
You have like a cross? You're wearing white robes?
And did they go up in flames like
like Beetlejuice? It's been an interesting day. It's been an interesting day.
Praise God, man.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's been cool.
Wait, so let's talk about why your sisters are here.
Well, because my...
Good question.
And we have the one...
Why are they alive is what I'm saying.
We have one who currently has laryngitis. And
I
that
do.
Seems like a bad time to do a podcast. However...
Because it is.
She's up from Florida, and so this was the only time we could do this.
Oh, well.
And then I hijacked it. So
yeah.
that's what we usually do.
She likes to tag along.
I do.
It's good, though. This is... I'm excited.
You guys are like a duo. It's not like a super exciting duo to be around. You guys are kind of like girlies. You guys like laugh about stuff that nobody else thinks is funny, but I love it because personal relationships like that are awesome. So it's super exciting to have you guys around at the same time. It's just different.
Reminded me of when you were insulting our buddy Chris about watching NASCAR, and you said it's more boring than watching Golden Girls, and I said it's more boring than being one of the Golden Girls.
Why would that remind you of? Do they remind you of the Golden Girls?
No, that's not.
No.
Not at all.
That's such a Blanche thing to say.
I don't even know what that means. This is out of my time.
I never watched the Golden Girls.
Me neither.
I only watched them in college.
So you said something interesting to me this week that kind of spurred the idea of having my sisters on the podcast.
Yesterday, yeah. We were driving to the recovery thing last night, the St. Lawrence Church, which is awesome. But we were talking about your guys' dad, and I kind of already told you guys about this earlier.
Yeah.
And it just, like, spurred in my mind that something cool about your dad, because I'm around a lot of, like, pastors' kids and I try not to get into their gossip and drama, but, you know, they talk about it, and it's just, it's messy. You know, they have all these bad things to say about their dad or their mom or whatever. Well, hopefully your mom's not a pastor. That's blasphemy.
My oldest daughter is a children's pastor.
I take it back. You're such a dork. I take it back. By the way, I love Josiah Queen's new album.
Backstory.
Okay, so the podcast just went dark.
No, finish your beautiful story.
Anyway, something really cool about your guys' dad is just for me meeting you guys. I haven't met all the family, I don't think. Maybe I have, but the people I've met, I met Colin. I don't know.
That's it.
You've met Brian. You've met Rob.
Yeah. Okay.
You've met the whole crew.
Okay. So all you guys seem to have like this personal relationship with Jesus, and normally it's like my dad's relationship, my mom's relationship with Jesus, my grandma's relationship. You guys are all kind of a little different in that way. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what I want to talk about today, like how your dad influenced you in that way. Because what I hear is like my dad was pushy, he was shovey, he was like rules. So I kind of want to hear like what your guys' home life was like. Was there rules? Was it like hard?
We had rules, but I'll say this. The only weird, there's a couple of weird things, I guess, but the weirdest thing that I always talk about is, like, I was really, obviously, very into Ninja Turtles, and I remember this one time my mom wanted me to stop watching Ninja Turtles because there was a yin-yang on the wall in one of the episodes, and she's like, that New Age stuff's no good for you, but then she's like, now she's dousing me in essential oils, so, you know. Yeah.
I think there was a period of that. Legalistic or hyper unoffensive. I know that sounds kind of stupid, but we couldn't, didn't do anything to offend anyone ever, even if it was stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Because mom was always worried about what people would think. But the only reason, the only thing is, you're right, people, a lot of pastors were too strict. And I think there's a happy median. Instead of saying, you're going to be home by 10 o'clock or you're going to be grounded, it was like, hey, if you're not going to be home by 10 o'clock, just let us know where you're at and what's going on. And we didn't have cell phones, of course, but...
you did or did not?
We didn't.
We just sent carrier pigeons.
Yeah.
And also,
that's how old we are. It's not because
and also,
we couldn't
our
happen.
House was... All the kids came to our house.
Yeah, it was like a safe place for people to come hang out.
Really?
So I think that was... what it was, and Dad asked us that once. He said, what is it, what, because other parents and pastors would ask him, you're like, you, all your kids are in their own churches differently, and all your kids are still love the Lord, we all have partners that are Christians, you know, and I said, I think it was because you never made us feel guilty.
Yeah.
You never made us feel...
like disappointments.
Yeah, and you never force it on us. We always went to church, but it was never like... They never made it a rule. It wasn't like it was a rule. I don't remember it ever
being a rule. It never felt like one.
No,
yeah.
It was what we did.
That was one of the things I was thinking, too, when you said about like not having like strict time to be home.
Yeah, it was...
It was always like... If you're going to stay up all night on Saturday, you're still going to come to church on Sunday.
Oh, right,
and we just understood that.
Right.
And so, there's a lot of times I just didn't sleep on Saturday, and that's fine. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it wasn't like a curfew or anything like that.
I think the other thing that I notice now as a parent is that he always rescued.
Yeah.
And that's a huge picture of Jesus for me, is that he always rescued. If I forgot this, or if I was late for this, or if... He was always rescuing me, even when I had my own kids.
Oh, yeah.
He would rescue me with rides. Mom still rescues me.
Yep.
And that's just a beautiful picture of Jesus.
Him and I had a rough growing spurt together because growing up, like, my dad was kind of manipulative with, like doing stuff for me so that I would do stuff for him.
Yeah,
so when I first met your dad, he would always try to do stuff for me. And I'd be like, nah, bro, I'm good.
Yep.
And I told him my car, and he's, like, calling me and checking in on me and all this and that. And I'm like, leave me alone. I'm trying to figure all this. And I'm just, like, dealing with my own, anger, my own resistance towards his, like, just willingness to help that I didn't understand in any way. And I thought that was super awesome. Yeah. But you said something about he never made you feel guilty. So how do you contrast, like, feeling guilty from the Holy Spirit, what we would call conviction,
well,
versus
like
feeling guilty because your parents think a way of you.
One of the things he would say is, if we came to him with a problem, he would say, okay, that sounds like your problem. What are we going to do about it?
Yeah.
That's just your, that's just what, okay.
Let's have that.
You didn't have problems. No.
Well, no, I just think
it was like that it wasn't, I can't believe you got yourself into that situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never once heard that. Never once heard.
I think the difference is condemnation versus conviction.
Yeah. You wanted to do better because you knew that
you weren't going to be shamed for it.
He wasn't going to judge you.
Yeah.
I never, if I, you know, got into a financial situation or I got into a, I don't know, relationship situation, it was like, okay, it was never, that was dumb.
There was no I told you so's.
Nope.
Yeah. No I told never. You so's, which watching other parental never. Relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like.
There just wasn't one. And neither, we're not perfect parents, and we didn't have perfect parents. But with you asking these questions, especially after losing him, you see just how great a set of parents we had.
Yeah.
When I walked into their house for the first time, I was like, these people are insane because of how nice they were. I remember, I don't know if I ever told you guys this, but I think I've told you this a million times. The second time I went over there, your dad always like used to try to hug me on my way out.
I love this.
And I would like avoid it because growing up, like where I grew up, we didn't like hug each other. I didn't even hug my mom or kiss her or anything. It was like, see you, mom, love you, bye. So he would like try to hug me, and one time he knew I was like trying to creep away and get out the door before he get to me. He's like, look, bro, just because I want to hug you doesn't mean I want to have sex with you.
That sounds like dad.
That's arachnophobic, dude.
This guy with this horrible
but
joke.
But you know what? It's funny.
It's never going to land. It's
not with me, dude.
It's kind of a joke where I live now that I'm not really a hugger.
Yeah. Stop. You need to get back into that. Hugging is a spiritual practice. I'm serious. You're going to hug me before you
Paul says. Paul says to greet each other with a holy kiss.
Oh, no.
I had a guy at a Pentecostal church I went to would kiss me on the forehead every time.
Paul's it a lot wild. More spiritual than me, so yeah. We're just going to take baby steps with
but
that.
I don't... It's not that I don't like hugs. It's that I'm very specific who
I will agree with that.
I think it's different for women, though.
Yeah.
I will agree with that. Because I don't connect with other people. This is how we're different. I'm not a people person. They're all the people persons.
Yeah.
I'm not. And so, yeah, intentional hugs. I'm intentional with them.
I'd say I was not a personal person at all when I first met the Lord, or met your dad, obviously, from the story I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I didn't even want to talk to the guy. But the first time I went over there, I was delivering, like, little piddly stuff. I was having a horrible day, and I sat there for 2.5 hours and talked with him because he cared about me. Like, what you guys were saying about the rescuing, like, he wanted to rescue me from the problems I was having. And that's why I really loved about your dad. But it sounds like he was more of a puller and not a pusher. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah, it was like a leading thing.
Yes.
Yeah. That was the awesome thing about
it. I remember when we moved down here, and he said, if we don't all go, none of us go.
Yeah.
And I knew 100% there was no choice we were going.
Yeah.
But he wanted to make sure that I knew that he cared about how I felt about going.
Yeah.
And we drove the moving van to my college graduation.
Yeah.
With the dog in the back.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did.
I graduated from Ivy Tech and that was right. Dad was not going to do it unless I went too. And I was 20. I was 20. 20.
Yeah. And we
and had... I just graduated and I said, okay. I mean, I didn't have a boyfriend. I wasn't, all my friends were kind of off at college.
Uh-huh.
I was like, all right, I'm ready for a new adventure, whatever.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, he did say, if we don't all go, none of us are going to go.
And, so. All her friends were off at college. This is going to shock you, Zach. I was not.
Wait, let me guess.
I was.
You were playing with comic book toys and had a mohawk.
I didn't have a mohawk. No, the mohawk was later. I reinvented myself when I came here because this is going to shock you. I was a bit of a loser before I moved here.
What? Dude, no, yeah. Not Warner. Yeah. Yeah. Warner Swamps?
I was a little bit lame. But,
dang.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you weren't lame when you moved here, or you still were?
Yeah, it goes in waves.
it comes and goes.
How'd you reinvent yourself? Sound like you detracted a little bit.
Yeah,
I do really miss his hugs, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I hug my parents, my siblings, my good friends. Some people just want you to hug them.
Yeah.
And you can kind of tell who those people are, and they're not being creepy.
Sometimes I misread that so bad.
Yeah.
They just hug you. Like my best friend in Florida, she is not touchy. She does not like hugs.
Probably why she's your best friend.
Probably. But one of our other friends, he's kind of a hugger, and you're just like, okay, he's going to hug you.
You're uncomfortable by it?
No, not anymore.
There's only certain people. The people I won't hug are my friend's wives. My friend's wives, I won't
hug
them.
And that's fair. Unless they're comfortable.
Like, my friend, I won't say the name, but I was going out to dinner with them, and I had met his wife for the first time. Mm-hmm. I hugged his dad. I hugged his mom. I high-fived his kid. I hugged him and shook his wife's hand.
And you're
I'm like, nice meeting you. Yeah. But I felt bad about it afterwards, but the more I thought about it, I was just like, I don't know, man. You can't just go around hugging people's wives.
Maybe once you...
You can't just go around hugging people's wives, Zach.
I
also don't know what to do. Some are side huggers, and some it's
you're
another,
just overthinking
so,
it.
Yeah,
you could name that could be my middle name as overthinker. Yeah.
I'm okay with side hugs. I don't think I mind side hugs.
This is the thing. This is the thing I learned. You have to be the initiator. You can't be the one guessing what they're going to do. You have to force the move.
If
it's a handshake, if you're a guy and it's a handshake, you could turn that handshake into a hug real easy.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Hugs are just more intimate, man. I don't know why we're on this topic, but I love hugging people.
Because Dad hugged you and didn't want to have sex with you.
Yes. Thankfully. That would have been a weird faith journey.
That's the Catholic Church.
Dude, that's one of my... No, this ain't right.
Oh, no.
Sam Shamoon, don't come for us.
Yeah, you're talking about that line that we cross sometimes. I think
we're getting canceled.
We've made some bad
jokes. That's probably not the worst Catholic joke you've made some terrible ones, and you're practically Catholic.
Yeah. Anyways, so what can you guys think of specifically anything of your doctrine or faith that your dad implemented in you that you can't really let go of? We talk about, like, closed-handed things and open-handed things. Have you guys ever heard of that? Like, things that you can, like... We could disagree about, but there's some things you can't disagree about, like the Trinity. For your dad, it was probably things like associated with Calvinism, kind of. He wasn't really full Calvinist, but can you guys think of anything like that?
That we agree with, or?
Anything that he instilled in you, in your faith, specifically.
Well, you and I have talked about, like, my eschatology and like rapture doctrine stuff is way different than it was growing up. Yeah. And that's kind of like why I'm writing the book and everything like that. But
I think when we were younger, we were in different types of churches. Then when we got older, it was a little bit more free.
Mm-hmm.
We did go for a short time. I don't know if you were a baby.
We went to a Salvation Army church one time.
That was a really
I have a friend who's
mistake.
A Salvation Army. He lives right here, right across the street.
Yeah, I went to a Goodwill church when I was a kid, too.
That's not... I don't think that's a real thing.
No, it was...
I went to a St. Vincent de Paul church.
That actually sounds like a real church, though. Shout out to Catholics again, dude. That's a Catholic church. I'm so sorry.
No, there... I don't know. You were there, I think. But it was a Southern Baptist church in a house. Do you remember that?
In a house?
Nope.
That's real
weird.
Acts.
That was
I
where...
also suffered from meningitis, so some memories just don't stick. That's one
you
of them,
you
might have
been really little, though, but it was...
That's probably a good thing.
There was a lot of laying of hands. There was a lot of oil. There was a lot of speaking in tongues. There was a lot of.
This sounds made up. I don't think.
Yeah.
When was this?
You guys were.
Were you the only child at that time?
Might have been.
I really don't. I don't remember even hearing about this.
It was between Newtown and Griffith. So you wouldn't have been born.
I wouldn't have been born.
You would have been born.
I'd have been little.
Yeah.
that was a weird one. They got us, I mean, they liked it and it was okay, but it was very out of the norm for us.
Well, Zach and I have had a lot of out of the norm experiences here lately, so we're open to any of that right now.
Yeah, it was.
It's been wild.
I think that you can't be released. You belong to Christ. If you belong to him, you belong to him.
Yeah.
That one stuck, but it also stuck by the way he modeled his life.
Yeah.
We were his, no matter what, we were his.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything that we could have done that he would have let us go for. Yep. So I think that solidified the doctrine that he laid with us anyway.
Yeah. That's interesting, because I remember I was in the house doing another visit, a hospice visit, and they were talking bad about Jesus. And I was kind of just, and I was like real young in my faith, probably like a month or a month and a half. And I go to see Ben that same day. I'm like, yeah.
The people, the family that you were.
Yeah, previously. Oh, so
prior morning, to, yeah. Oh, stop it. One. On his,
yeah. Yeah, that's, ooh, that's sad.
It wasn't really to me. I was like,
at
well,
the
you
time,
could,
yeah, you probably didn't care.
Yeah, I was like, you right. could believe what you want to believe. Like, I'm on this newfound journey.
Right.
And I went to go tell your dad about it, and he was like, you should have said something. I was like, and my face turned beet red, dude, because he was always like, love.
Yeah.
But he told me that with love. And while it was like embarrassing and shameful for me, it wasn't because he made me feel that way. It's because I had such a reverence for him. And I looked up to him so hard that when he gave me criticism, it destroyed me.
Yeah.
And that may be, that may be another thing that, because he didn't really, he wasn't harsh ever about it.
Mm-mm.
About things that were, you know, major things. So when we did do something so like we knew was wrong or we knew we should have done better, we knew that was going to be like, oh, it was just heart wrenching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
He asked for forgiveness. That's one of the ones I remember most. One of the times with him.
Yeah.
He kind of overreacted and probably something totally stupid. Mm-hmm. We would both believe totally stupid now. And he asked for forgiveness.
Yeah.
And I do the same thing with my kids. Yeah. Because I think parents sometimes feel like we can't do that. We can't let them know that we failed.
Yeah.
Except that I have to let them know because I do it a lot.
Yeah.
Praise God. That's
That's
awesome. And I obviously am like 21. I don't have kids or if I ever had a girlfriend. But that's interesting.
I'm a late bloomer, too. It's okay.
I'm not a late bloomer. I'm celibate. What are you talking about? I'm giving my life to the Lord. What are you talking about? You sinner? What? I'm God's.
Well, the way you set up that story, though, I have to say.
I lost it.
You were like the first. You're like the. When I first went to the house, because she had talked about how he's like always, would never let us go for any reason. And you're like, that's interesting, because when I first went to this house, and I thought you were going to be like, when I first went to their house, they were like, if Ashley does this, she's out.
What?
I don't know. The way you set up that story just sounded like you were about to contradict the whole thing.
Well, and I have a daughter who's 21 who's struggling right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I still don't think he would judge her.
Yeah, definitely would not. Yeah.
He didn't make a big deal out of, some I've noticed.
No, he would just love her.
He did make fun of us.
Yeah,
but it was all in love.
I never got that.
The way we do this, though, and it's
we never knew each other long enough to get to that point. Yeah. I don't think it was all.
Well,
like,
and at the funeral, though, did you notice that, or at like the what's that called?
The visitation, or
whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, visitation's a better word. I don't like.
Yeah.
Anyways,
the wake.
The wake. Just dumb.
Do like the visitation. That's better.
I kept thinking. Well, I didn't think during it, but I was thinking like, we were just up there cracking jokes and just being
wild. She cried a lot.
Really?
Warner and I had cried for about 2 or 3 days at that point.
I cried a lot, but I laughed a lot, too.
I felt that almost because I was like, why don't I just keep laughing?
I thought, what are people going to think? And then I thought, no, because all these people knew my dad and they were there for my dad, and he would have been laughing, even like these dumb kids.
I started his funeral off with a joke about how he had pretty much written his whole funeral sermon and told me what passage he was. So I was like, that's classic dad.
That's funny because that was the worst day of my life and I was crying the whole entire time. I didn't laugh once.
No, my husband, my husband either, because my husband was closer to my dad than his own dad.
That's how I was.
And he was so distraught that when everybody walks past you at the end of the funeral and, like, hugs you and whatever, one of his good buddies from here, like, kissed him on the forehead and hugged him. And then his best friend, who was the best man in our wedding, hugged him. And we got in the car to go to the graveside, and he goes, "Hey, I thought Cliff said he was going to be there." And I said, "He was there. He hugged you." He had no... He was that distraught that he literally had no idea. Of course, our daughter sang at the funeral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was heart-wrenching. But he was like that, too. It was like it was the worst day ever. It was the worst thing ever to ever happen. This is the other thing. We were not sheltered from death at all.
No.
No. Yeah. Nope.
And he didn't hide it either. He talked about that he was dying all the time.
And we were not sheltered. And I talked about to Mom about that today. We saw a kid on a motorcycle. He's probably older than you. I called him a kid. But he was a kid on a motorcycle, and he was just, you know, going around, going fast. And I said, "I never had that." And she said, "What?" And I said, "I never had that. Nothing could ever happen to me."
Yeah.
"Nothing can ever happen to me. I'm da-da-da." And I meet so many people that are like, "Oh, I did. I was, like, invincible." And I thought, "I never had that."
No.
And I think it stems back to they never sheltered us from death. We had a girl in our youth group killed in a car train accident when I was 13. And we were there for every minute of it when our house was open to all those
mourners
and heartbroken kids. And what are we going to do now? And what are we were there. They did not say, "Hey, go to your room. Hey, don't, you're not going to the funeral. Hey, you're not." Nope. We were immersed in it.
I lost one of my best friends in kindergarten.
Yep.
And we went to the funeral, and they talked about where he was and what their faith was. And
we never, ever were sheltered from that. And so I think because heaven and death were so for real for us, I never thought, "Oh, I can't, there's nothing that'll ever happen to me." I thought, "Nope, that could definitely happen to me."
Yeah,
that's interesting, because I'm kind of like on this, I just feel this way, that not that I feel like nothing could happen to me, but nothing could happen to me serious enough to matter, you know what I mean?
So, well,
like,
that's a good look.
No, we were just not reckless, I think.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I think not necessarily what could happen to us, but the grief that we saw.
Yeah.
In parent, yeah, after, like, parent after parent after parent after parent, we saw the grief that it caused them. And even trusting the sovereignty of God, if we could avoid those things for our parents or for each other, sisters and brothers losing, we would do that.
Like, I would think when we went to that girl's house, and I was so anxious about seeing her parents after that happened. I thought, I would never want my parents to feel that. No, she didn't do anything. It wasn't that she was worthless. Right. But I'm just saying, I didn't do anything that, I mean, dumb enough on purpose that could lead to that. Just speak for other people. Yeah, I think that's a good point.
Well, I think your dad had a weird... I know I keep calling your parents crazy, but understand that I was in a different mindset.
Zach's hood.
He grew up
in the hood.
I'm not hood, dude. But anyways, your dad always used to talk about how he was dying. And I would tell him... I remember I would talk to him and I'd cry. And I never cried in front of him. I never cried, period. But anyways, I'm talking to him about death, and I'm like, "Dude, I'm scared I'm going to lose my faith when you die." And he always had these answers for me.
Yep.
It was like the Holy Spirit always had these answers for me. But he never feared death, and he looked forward to it, which I thought he was a nut for doing that. And for years, I didn't learn to understand that until now.
Yeah.
He had like a truly, and this is what I think about the once saved, always saved thing that you mentioned earlier, is some people have a true relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't always know if you do or you don't. And it's not my job to figure out, but sometimes you just know, you know what I mean? And I didn't know any real Christian ever in my life. I thought Christians were like successful people. Then I met your dad. look at our setup.
Look at this podcast setup. It's not just successful people.
I don't know, dude. This boar was expensive.
My uncle killed that boar.
And then my cousin gave it to Rob, and then Rob gave it to Warner. Because he was like, "I don't know what we're going to do."
It's my third boar. And Iris, when she sees it, she thinks because Uncle Monty, she didn't know Uncle Monty, and so she knows that he killed the boar. She thinks that they, like, battled each other to the death and killed each other. She's always telling people, she's like, "My dad has a pig that killed his uncle in the basement." I'm like, "What?" Yeah.
Well, I have my best friend that I was talking about. And hey, Kristen, how are you? She went to church with us for the first time when Mom was down in Florida. And we go to a big church, has a coffee shop. And
Sinner.
Sorry, just searching.
No, but our pastor...
He doesn't like big churches. He doesn't like small churches.
But our pastor preaches from the Word of God. I mean, I'm telling you.
I'm just kidding. Praise God.
You know, my dad went to that church and he was like, I love Pastor Johnny. But he uses a lot of scripture. It's so hard to keep up. Like,
yeah.
But anyway, it was very biblical. He was like very on. Anyway, she walked in and she said, and like you, did not grow up in church. Catholic, but only went on Easter and Christmas.
Like
you
Catholic.
Yeah. But sorry. But she said, oh, it's like Disney World for Jesus. But she's come back every single time. I wasn't there yesterday, and her and another friend of ours came without me there. They
Praise
were
God.
There.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And that was like, and that's, talk about humbling. Ooh. You're like, okay, I guess I gotta, I'll say something mean at work, and she'll be like, you're sitting in the front row on Sunday. You know, she's very funny like that, but it is about a daily relationship. It's about remembering what you know, but you're right. I think you're once saved, always saved, but I think if you're actually saved, you're going to want to live like that. It doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes, and doesn't mean you're going to not sin. It just means that you're gonna want to do better. You're gonna want to live like Christ. You're gonna want to do that, and you're gonna want to do it, what you know is right. So
I actually hate that phrase.
What?
Once saved, always saved.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, I do too, and I disagree.
It's like like a God wink. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, all you. I don't like it because God is in a way interwoven Himself.
Yeah.
Or interwoven us into His story. There is no. God,
well, when I think about when I think about grace, I think of like it's like there's prevenient grace of like the Holy Spirit pursuing you before you're saved, and then there's justification, sanctification, and glorification. So it's like I have been saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved.
Well, I like
so it's
that.
Like a it's more I don't know. That's,
I like that.
That's something that's helped me wrap my head around it. But I was listening to a John MacArthur clip. I know you're not a big John MacArthur guy. And I don't agree with everything he says. But I was listening to a John MacArthur clip today where he was just, like, talking about, like, the predestination thing or once saved, always saved. Like, people were asking him all these questions. And he's like, I don't know how to reconcile these two things together. This is John MacArthur, who's studied the Bible for forever.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know how to reconcile these two things together.
You can't.
But he's like, but you... You just have to trust God's word and trust God that He knows what He's doing. Mm-hmm. And and it's like what I talked about the other day, where it's like there are some things that we can know and we should be responsible to know those things. We can't use this as an excuse to not study God's word.
Yeah.
But there are some mysteries that we won't know on this side of heaven. And like that's the whole...
But the thing with predestination, and I don't want to get too far in the weeds in this, you can understand predestination from a different perspective than what John MacArthur is understanding.
Oh, yeah, we've talked about it.
And then saying, like, oh, well, that's just the way it is. It's like, no, that's just the way you understand it, and you've chosen to accept it. I think there's other ways to understand predestination.
Yeah. I think so, too.
Yeah.
When parents are worried about their kids coming to Christ, and I don't ever know how to word it, like, they will. If they are, they will.
Yeah.
They're worried that they won't. If something would happen to them before, they won't. And that sounds so divine. It's not from me. It's not from me. If they're supposed to be, if they are His, they are His. They're going to come to that. I don't know how to explain it in a way that doesn't seem like I'm being a brat, but...
It's hard. And I mean, what did you learn about John Calvin last week?
Oh, just, I learned that John Calvin's views of predestination, he thought, like, went as far as to believe. Now, I don't know. You can't believe everything you read in here, but I've seen multiple things of this. Where, like, one of his sermons or whatever where he's preaching about predestination is that he said that even if like a child or a baby was not elect, then they would be in hell. And I was like, I don't buy that doctrine.
But
at
if
all.
You believe, if you like, that's the hard thing about predestination for me is if you believe in predestination, there is a lot of stuff that comes with it that you have to agree to. Or just say, like, I can't understand everything about God. And it's like...
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's a tricky that's what game. I'm thinking, too, is, like, there's just some things that we don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
And we don't need to know.
We don't need to know.
We just need to
worry about ourselves.
Yeah.
That's what I think
Oh,
about.
My goodness. Kindergarten teacher right here. Worry about
that's
yourself.
That's what I was
just saying. Worry about yourself. And if I would just follow that.
Yep.
That's the thing about predestination for me that is, like, I used to really be, like, Calvinist and try to prove it to everybody. But the thing about, like, predestination is it's not applicable to evangelizing.
No.
Or even to throw away
Agreed.
That nasty term of evangelizing.
Agreed.
Just loving people and yep. sharing the gospel with people.
Yeah.
Because I don't know who's chosen, and I'm not going
to... And it's not up to us anyways.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And you can get into a very dangerous game of guessing who's chosen and who's not by their fruits. People
yeah.
will
yeah.
abuse
yep.
that
Absolutely.
Verse and try to guess their fruits.
Absolutely.
Look at our fruits. I don't know. Yeah. Anyways, way off the weeds with that. And it's
no,
funny.
No, that's good. No,
it's funny because I wrote in my notes, I said, your dad would be so disappointed in my theology now.
He said that to me at church. I was like, no.
You know what I feel like, Zach? I feel like my dad's theology changed over the years.
That's what's happening to me.
Oh, yeah.
On the podcast.
It definitely did.
I don't want to say it. Maybe it didn't change, but it
grew.
Evolved over that.
Your theology
I like the word
as
grew
as
better than
hat.
Evolved.
I know.
But grew.
But it grew and did
grew.
Change in its presentation and
yeah.
its.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think that. So, and mine has too. And I mean, I can't speak for you guys, but.
And that's really, that's comforting for me because. And I've told people before, like, this is kind of, I tell people in my church this, and I'm like, don't be alarmed by this, but my theology and doctrine, some of it has changed since I've been pastoring this church.
Oh, yeah.
Why would
and
somebody...
So it's like, I don't want to alarm you. None of the, like, the main things are still the main things, but
Absolutely.
there's some things that just are different. And
that frustrates me so bad. Why would somebody be frustrated by your theology
changing?
Oh. But that,
well,
because that reminds me
people...
of the small town church thing where it's like, we're never going to change. We're always going to be this.
Yeah.
And we're always going to believe
yep.
this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some people will hang their hat on like what their pastor believes solely on that. And like if
Personal
my pastor,
faith.
Yeah, whatever my pastor says,
yeah.
that's what it is. Or like they'll be defending their faith and someone will ask them a tricky question and they'll be like, well, I'll have to see what my pastor says about that. It's like, what do you say about that? Like,
might as well be
what is
Catholic.
That is another...
I can't read my own Bible.
That is another reason why some pastors' kids have completely written off Christ and church. And maybe not even Christ, but church in general.
Yeah.
Because when I tell you, someone with my personality, it's a miracle I go to church. I mm-hmm. stay in church because... Church people, and I don't even want to call them Christians, but church people can be the worst. They can be the absolute worst.
I know. Have you been to Warner's Church? Oh, I'm just kidding.
No.
I am so just kidding.
I like
love everybody
people.
At that church.
No, but church hurt is real.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
do people get hurt over stupid stuff? Yes. Get over it sometimes.
Yeah.
But there are genuine reasons why people that grew up in the church or were raised in very, you know, immersed church. Homes of
mm-hmm.
Christianity are like, I don't know what I believe. I don't know what I want to do. I don't, you know, I got to figure it out first and I'll come back and figure out what I believe.
Yeah.
And there are people that will die on a hill God didn't even ask them to climb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a bar.
Yeah, that is good. That's
yeah.
good.
That's
it's
a
true.
Bar.
Yeah.
Really quick, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no,
my brother, give me a hug, man.
No,
I love
go ahead. Not,
sorry.
I don't think Warner's going to talk on his own podcast.
No, that's okay. That's better this way.
It is.
I'll let you guys get canceled, not me.
canceled from what? My construction job? What's interesting about what you're saying is, like, I was listening to this podcast. It was like a psychological study, but this is regular. Regular occurrence.
Oh,
but
the Lord.
I probably didn't even hear it on the
still
podcast.
Alive.
Yeah. He is risen. That's so messed up. Anyways, a big part, I think, of pastors' kids, like, leaving the faith, in my personal experience, both of my parents were, like, lapsed Catholics. My dad was, like, a drug addict. My mom was crazy. I love her. She's still alive, but my dad passed away. Mm-hmm. So part of coming to Christ was me rebelling against that life that they were living. Because I saw that, and okay. I saw it as hypocritical, I hated that my mom... It still frustrates me that she says she believes in Jesus, and it's not because she doesn't go to church, she doesn't read her Bible, but she doesn't actually... I don't think she actually believes in Jesus.
Sure.
So that would infuriate mm-hmm. me, and I didn't know that. So I rebelled in a way that I came to Christ. But I think a way a lot of kids leave the church is by rebelling against what they know in their parents. And sometimes the reason you want to rebel is because it's an unhealthy doctrine or teaching or structure.
Yeah, or because... people put you up, they think you need to act different or act better because you're the pastor's kid or mm-hmm. because you were raised in church and because you go to church or you be, no, mm-hmm. we're all sinners mm-hmm. saved yeah. by grace. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for that, we'd all be just, you know, just broken everything. Yeah. So I think that's true. I think it is it's a rebellion against what you are so upset about, you know, like what your idea of the way someone should be. Mm-hmm. What we have to remember is that we're all human. So
yeah.
You can't put your pastor up on a pedestal. You can't put your mom, your dad, it just has to be about glorifying God, and that's where it's hard.
What was interesting about that, though, is it seems like you guys didn't have much to rebel against. So this is what's interesting about me seeing that you guys have a personal faith, mm-hmm. is that you guys think differently than your dad. Even Warner thinks differently. Yeah. And he's a lot Ben, but he thinks differently than Ben. Like, you know, Easter eggs, Easter bunny, all these pagan rituals that your dad didn't
know. We do every one with my little family because that's what my husband's did. And they were Christ followers too, so we
had
both.
An Easter egg hunt at our church, but we used it as a community outreach. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
When I say they go,
we didn't have one because
I need to correct. When I say that they both go to bigger churches. I'm not talking like pastor comes in on the zip line of David, kind of like, you know, it's not like that. No. Not like that makes
the
it
zip
a big
line
church.
Of David. Stole my joke, dude.
I did. It was
but
a good joke,
music,
and you hadn't said it yet.
But the music is like a concert.
Sure.
And, you know, we do offer a lot of opportunities that smaller churches can't. I mean, that is true. But, I think that, yeah.
But I think the discipleship opportunities that Warner gets at his church are so much greater because they're on a smaller scale. I'm not saying that we don't do discipleship at ours, but it's so more connected.
That's what I love. I started crying during those baptisms, and it wasn't...
Oh, I cry at every baptism. I'm 46 years old.
Well, it wasn't... It was one specific one, that lady that Warner found out on the square and, like, prayed for, and then she comes into the church.
Yeah.
And then it's not, like, all glory to Warner. It's all glory to God, of course. Yeah. I think you would agree with
right
that.
Time, right time, right place.
But, like, you see a lot of that going on in, like, Warner's church. And I don't know, like, I've been to some bigger churches, and I didn't hate it. I saw tons of people getting baptized. Mm-hmm. I just don't understand it. How do you guys think your dad felt about bigger churches?
He always wanted to be a pastor of one.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But I think he wanted that because he felt like he should have had a bigger ministry. And if he'd gotten to see his visitation.
Yeah.
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 He would have seen how big his ministry was.
Well,
600 people, right? Something like that.
Yeah, it was crazy. And
5 hours of people. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. 5 hours wrapped around.
And we had
the
to cut it off. We had to.
Jamie Meredith's like.
He's like, we gotta go eat some Mexican food.
Yeah, the only restaurant in town.
Literally, he's like, I think they're keeping it open for us. Hurry up.
They made a lot of money on that day, boy.
I was gonna look up. I wanted to quote him exactly, but when mom posted her 2 year anniversary on Facebook. Ryan Bratcher.
Yeah, I saw that.
Hey, Ryan, how's it going?
Ryan's a good friend.
He said, when I think back on the most influential people in my life, I immediately think of Pastor Ben. So he never had a big church, but he had all kinds of different experiences in churches.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy to this day is in his own church and has his family raised, you know. So it wasn't, dad did have that impact without having a mega church, or I don't like to call it a mega church, but like
a center church.
Just like a big
center church.
I'm just kidding.
Oh my word.
I'm going to beat that nail in, dude.
But yeah,
you're dreading to be
over
here.
That's a holy spit, dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that is true. Like, it was all over the place. There's so many people that were influenced by that. So it is different. It is really different. But there are so many kids that were raised in Christian homes and by pastors, and they're lost. They don't know what to do.
But I'm blessed with the fact that all four of us are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our faith looks different, but not extreme different.
Mm-hmm.
Just.
And when I say humbling that these two people in my life are going to church with me, oh man, and they work with me.
It's humbling because it's a burden to bear.
Yeah, but they want to go to church, and I have to be careful not to say, well, they probably want to go to church with me because I'm normal, like I'm not of the world.
Right,
but
we don't
like,
want to, yeah.
But they know I'm not going to judge them.
You're not a holy roller.
She's the catchphrase of the podcast. She's real life, real faith, real talk. This one, real talk.
Yeah, I'm real talk. And that's why my friend jokes and says, you're sitting in the front row to this Sunday. You're canceled for that. You know, like, because she hears it and I'm like, oh, man. And it is true.
That's
like,
hard,
I do feel like I have to behave a little bit differently.
Yeah.
I had a friend tell me, but you're Jesus to me.
Yep, that's exactly. Oh.
No.
Not like
she's like,
yes,
you
are. Not like we
no,
worship
but,
you.
Not like that,
but
like.
I get what you're saying now.
You show Jesus to me.
Yeah, you're
and you know what?
Example of Jesus.
Yeah. Yes. And that was like, oh. Mm-hmm. Are you sure?
Yeah, it's heavy.
Like, yeah. Because I'm.
Like I
said. I fall short so much. I can't possibly know how she could see Jesus in me some days. They're just, I don't know.
She texted me the other day. She goes, we're walking, because we walk like two or three times a week after work. She goes, we're walking today, right? And I said, yeah. And she goes, oh, good. I have a lot of questions about the Lord. And I thought, oh, man.
You just pray all the way home, right? All the
man.
Way home.
And I thought, oh, they were easy ones, thank goodness. But I was like, wow, I'm really going to have to be on my A game. I really am.
No. See, this is my encouragement to you. Warren and I have talked about this. You don't have to be on your A game at all.
That's true.
I'm not trying.
It's not about me.
You have to be open to his A game.
Yeah, I'm not even trying to, like, bang that over your head.
Nope.
But, like, seriously, like, having faith, like, seriously, like, not trusting, but knowing that the Holy Spirit is going to provide what he wants to come out of your mouth in that moment.
Yeah.
And you might not be able to answer all her questions.
Yep.
That's good, because it might lead her to somebody who's going to further her in her faith in another way or some other extraordinary way.
One of my favorite people doesn't. I think believes Jesus exists, and if she didn't know so many terrible Christians, it would probably be easier. I don't know if she will ever come to Christ with me able to see it, but I pray every single time we get together that I won't. That I won't give her the wrong impression of him.
Yeah.
That I won't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be just another one that shows her the wrong side of Christianity. Because I know I will, but I know the Holy Spirit will.
Right.
Yeah.
Something your dad kind of taught me, though, which I'm super grateful for, was I can't look to the people in the church, and I can't look to him to show me what Jesus is supposed to be like. And I'm learning that the scripture tells us who Jesus is, but like it is a whole nother ball game personally experiencing who Jesus is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because that is an ugly walk.
Absolutely.
It's a rocky trail and it's not easy. But people like your sermon on Sunday, come on, drop the bar on me. Do you remember it? The dirty water?
Oh man, that was so good. Naaman was thinking that the Jordan was like too dirty and beneath him, but that's kind of how people treat the church, because they see the church is dirty and they don't want to go in, but it's like, yeah, that's kind of the point.
Yeah. The healthy don't need a doctor.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a song out that talks about They say church is like a hospital, but if that was true, then it would be, I would always be full. Or
that is so funny, because that's that new Brandon Lake and Josiah Queen song.
It is not.
No, I'm just kidding. I think it's Matthew West.
I think it is.
She's cool with Brandon Lake. I don't think
I love Brandon Lake.
I know, but I put the Josiah Queen after, so I know. I could have said Josiah Queen and Brandon Lake, and then but she would
have clarify why.
No,
we don't have to.
We have to go into
that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, that's a whole other podcast for another day, probably.
Because we are at 50 minutes, so I want to ask you guys one more question. It's a hard question. What is one thing you guys wish you could ask your dad about right now? One thing, pick one. I know there's probably many. Hit me first, brother.
That's, no, I don't know. I was going to make a joke about Ashley wanted to ask him the question that she asked me about what's the difference between heresy and blasphemy. Oh,
we'll throw in a trivia. We're
going to talk about that some other time. We'll
throw it in at the end, trivia.
Can you think of any?
Yeah, but I don't. I was trying not to cry the whole podcast.
Yeah.
Am I doing okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
Am I doing okay?
Yeah, that's good.
What should we do about Reagan?
Yeah, that's a good. It's a tough one.
Are we doing okay with her?
Yeah.
Are we doing the right thing, just letting her figure it out? Are we? Are we loving her well? And what do we do if I don't get to see the recovery?
Yeah.
And I did say this. There's another situation that I'm part of, and the question keep coming to my mind. What if it doesn't end like we want it to? What does it look like? What do we look like if we have to be on the other side of this thing that we're dealing with, and it doesn't look like what we thought it should?
And I think Dad would say, how can you glorify God when it doesn't?
Yeah. And that's that.
And it's when it doesn't.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times ours would be a completely chaotic mess if we did it the way that we wanted. I think Warner touched on that on Sunday. If we did it our way, it would be messier.
And C.S. Lewis says we're not necessarily questioning that God wants the best for us. We're just wondering how hard his best will be or something.
Your dad would have loved that. You just quoted C.S. Lewis too, dude. Yeah,
and we're not necessarily doubting God wants the best for us.
We're just worried the best. We're just worried
about how hard the best will turn out to be.
Yeah.
And that just kept playing in my mind about the situation with Reagan and the situation that I'm in with these two friends of mine. And I want to ask him, what does it look like? Are we going to be okay?
Yeah.
I think one from my pastor, he said, we don't doubt that he can. We doubt that he wants to.
Yeah.
And I think that's one I've been struggling with. I think since Dad passed, I think the year of him passing was a super spiritual year. And then after he was gone, I just turned into a much more transactional faith than transformational faith.
Mm-hmm.
We're working on that.
That is very real. I've talked about that in a micro way, where like a microwave. Where I'm like,
he's telling my kids to put an egg in the microwave, and I'm
don't let him babysit.
I know.
I do let him babysit.
We do, and I don't know what we're doing.
So I fast every now and then, and one time I fasted for like a week, and I got done fasting, and I was so clear-minded, spirit-led, discerning everything. Right. Like, I knew what God was doing in my life. As soon as I quit, I'm like, why can't I fast 24/7? I've fallen right back into the things I was doing.
Right.
I get back
because your body will die.
Because you will die.
Yeah, that's a real
to
thing.
To die is to gain, brother. Okay.
Oh, boy.
To die is to get these sick gains.
But I understand deeply what you're saying, I think, because right now I feel like I'm going through a spiritual transformation of really experiencing Jesus, not a transaction thing like what you're talking about of like, well, I need to read my Bible in the morning so I can get closer to Jesus. It's like, no, I need to seriously be still, be quiet, and seek Jesus. Like, just seek him. Like, I just want to feel him in my heart. And when you feel him in your heart, you yearn for that. And when you lose it, it feels like you're empty. Yeah. And you never really lose Jesus. Like you just get further away from
him. Placing the grace hat.
Yes. Yes, I misplaced the grace hat a lot.
Yeah. Right after I said that in the sermon, though, I left it at the pulpit and had to get it this morning because I forgot. Boy. I left it at church. That's okay. I'm wearing it now. It's all good.
What's one question you have for your pops?
Man, I don't know. That's tough.
You've had like 30 minutes.
I know. And I think about it a lot, I'm sure, but I just, on the spot, it's harder. But it probably wouldn't be like some big, crazy thing. It would be something probably in the moment of like something at the church that I would just be like, probably something very administrative even.
Yeah,
like, probably not some deep question, but just like, what do I do when this happens at the church? Yeah. Or what do I do? How do I handle this situation? Or I don't know.
The hard part about your guys' dad is if you asked him what you should do, he never gave me like advice on what I should do.
Nope. What does God say about it?
Yeah. He gave me advice on who to go to seek advice.
Yeah.
Or, he would just say, well, what does God say
about
it?
What does the Bible say about it?
Yeah, so what I was saying earlier about us talking about my faith talk going away after he passed, he always reminded me of that, was that my faith isn't here it's not even my faith, but the faith isn't here because of him. It's here because of Jesus.
Yeah.
So after he passed, I was like, God moved in ways that just led me into a church, and I was just there. But this whole like experience of growing in the faith, there's a ton of questions I wanted to ask him. And honestly, subconsciously, I've been seeking a spiritual mentor, somebody to take Ben's place. I did that for a very long time.
Yeah.
But Ben never wanted it. And he wanted me to find anybody to take his place. Yep. He wanted me to find Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Jesus answered my questions. And Jesus doesn't answer my questions as good as Ben did.
Right? He doesn't text.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah. Ben gave me a Bible with stuff underlined in it already.
I have said to God before that your silence is deafening. Like, it's so loud. He didn't move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah. Yeah, that's real.
He didn't stop talking. I stopped listening.
Or kept talking over him.
Yep. Mm. So, and I've said some mean things to God, too, for sure. But, yeah. Why won't you talk to me? Why can't I hear you? Why don't I feel you? Because you moved. Yeah. You won't shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I think I wreck myself over the small stuff, too.
Yeah.
Because the big stuff
is scary.
And you don't have as much of a choice
in
it. Yeah, I feel like true. I battle with the little stuff because it's a battle I can take on. Mm-hmm. The big stuff, you just walloped with it and you got to just tread water while he saves you. I struggle more with the little stuff. And then I feel terrible thinking, why am I struggling with this stupid little stuff?
Right.
But it's because that's what I struggle with.
Zach and I talked this last week about like why do we let these things bother us when we know that God is in it and he's going to do something, and we've seen him do things before, we've seen him be in control so many times. Why do we get hung up on that, and why do we struggle with these like frustrating weeks or when something doesn't work out how we exactly planned it or anything like that? And I think what happens, it's really hard for me because I get up there on Sunday and I preach a message and like I'm like, oh, that's really good, and I hear something and I'm like, oh, that's really good, and then I have a hard time applying it myself later.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, if I just could just get a hold of that, like one of the things I say this all the time is like when we're in a situation, we should not be asking God why we're in that situation. We should be asking him what he wants to teach us.
Yeah.
And I can say that all day long, and I can text that to people when they're asking me what's going on or why God's allowing them to go through this thing. But when it happens to me, I can't, for whatever reason, shut myself off and get out of the way and ask that question instead of, why is this happening now, or why is this happening to me?
Have you ever said you don't want to learn it right now?
Yeah.
Have you known what it is?
Yeah.
And you're like, well,
I don't really want to learn this right now. Yeah.
That's
tough.
Praise God. I think that was awesome. That is right at an hour almost.
Yeah, that's perfect. Love you guys. Thanks for
coming yes. on.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for having us talk about Dad. It's good.
Praise God.
Well, yeah. So
I'll close this out.
Yeah. Do you know it? Can you say the little
Our
thing?
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. I don't remember.
Okay. Well, we say this every week on the podcast, but Zach can't remember it, and that's
be
fine.
Be aggressive but God, for God's glory.
God's truth won't back down.
And neither should you.
Be focused.
Be
aggressive. And be relentless
for God's glory. Amen.
Amen.